I thank your minister again for his words of welcome. It is a joy and a privilege to be back with you in Lisburn, and I trust today we'll know much of the presence and the blessing of the Lord. I'm here on one condition. I told him he had to come over to Gardenstown to do our harvest services, so he'll be absent from you in a few weeks' time. But it is a joy to be back and to renew fellowship with the friends here. Now we're turning this morning to Jeremiah chapter 8, the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Behind the pulpit you can't see it, but in addition to this lovely arrangement that has been made, there are some additional things behind the pulpit. And Thomas was telling me just a little bit earlier, it is a custom here to have some grapes for him each year. But there's something else. There's a carrot as well. Now, I know that donkeys like carrots. So I don't know if there's any suggestion there at all behind that. I hope it's not for me, by the way. But I just thought I might let you into that little secret here. So if I feel like a grape, I might take one through the service and give the carrot to our brother. Jeremiah chapter 8. This is a familiar chapter at this time of the year. There is a verse of scripture which I'm sure many of you are familiar with from this chapter, at the end of the chapter. And it has been preached many, many times at harvest services. Well, I'm not going to preach on that text. I have another text that I want us to look at this morning in conjunction and in connection with the harvest as well. And I would like to speak today on the departure of the swallows. The departure of the swallows. Let's look at verse 4. We'll begin reading at this verse. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every one turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree and the leaf. And the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, My heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people. Because of them that dwell in a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold in me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his own precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank thee today for the opportunity to meet in such a service as this, to give thee thanks, Lord, for thy goodness to us. And we thank thee that we have that word that has proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. We pray today, Lord, that we may be conscious that we are in thy presence, and may we hear thy voice. Speak to every heart today, Lord. And we pray especially for any in this service who as yet are without Christ. We pray today that the Holy Spirit will take the word and apply it with conviction, with power and with grace, that the heart of the sinner may be awakened to flee to Christ for salvation and for everlasting safety. Bless us now, shut us in with thyself, and grant that today in all things the Lord Jesus shall have the preeminence. We ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. Jeremiah's ministry was directed towards the people of the southern tribe, or the southern kingdom of Judah, and the city of Jerusalem in particular. It was a ministry that concentrated upon the sin of that southern kingdom in departing from God and embracing pagan religion and pagan ways. The message of Jeremiah warned of judgment, judgment that would come in the form of an invasion from the armies of Babylon, but the people simply would not listen. They carried on in their ways regardless of what Jeremiah preached. If you look at verse 6 of this chapter, the Lord says of that generation, he says of that people, no man repented him of his wickedness. No man, not one man listened. Not one individual took heed to what the prophet Jeremiah was saying. There was God's servant warning them that if they carried on in their sin, that sin would bring judgment. And yet not one man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Jeremiah was plying upon a rock, and he was facing a very difficult situation. In this chapter, the Lord made a contrast between the people of Judah and the birds of the air that they were familiar with. If you look at verse 7, the Lord says to Jeremiah to tell the people this: yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Do you notice here how the Lord has told Jeremiah to draw this contrast with the birds of the air and the people of Judah? In verse 4, the Lord said, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord would have Jeremiah to say, to make this connection and this contrast with the birds of the air. The Lord is pointing them in particular to the migratory birds. These birds that are mentioned in verse 7, the stork and the crane and the turtle and the swallow, they are all migratory birds. They only come for a season. And at that particular time, the harvest had just ended. The harvest season had just concluded, and God drew the attention of the people to something else that was associated with the harvest time, namely the departure of the migratory birds. This has happened at the same time. The harvest has ended. The summer's passed. And in association with the ending of the harvest, these birds who had been for some months in the land of Israel have now flown away. And the Lord says to Jeremiah, go and tell the people. Go and tell the people that these birds know their appointed times and they observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. The Lord's emphasis upon the birds of the air was by no means a new method of instruction. You'll find often throughout the Scripture that the Lord makes many references to the birds of the air. You remember when he brought the Israelites out of Egypt? When they were standing under the shadow of Mount Sinai, the Lord said to them, I bear you upon eagle's wings, and I brought you unto myself. The Lord likens himself to the eagle. In other places, the Lord likens the birds to his people. When we wait upon the Lord says, ye shall mount up with wings as eagles. Remember how the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount said, behold the fowl of the air. Look at the birds. Consider them. Take notice of them. You'll find many, many times throughout the Scripture that the Lord directs our attention to the birds of the air. I think, as I have studied increasingly the references to the birds, I think the Lord made the birds primarily as an illustration of truth. He made the birds with their different variations. He made them primarily to illustrate to mankind truth that he would have us to learn and to take heed of. And right the way through the Scripture, the Lord points us to the birds. Sometimes he likens himself to the birds. Other times he likens his people. But in this chapter, it is not comparison that the Lord is making. It is a contrast. These birds fly away, and the Lord says of them, my people do not know. They do not observe the time of their coming in the same way that the migratory birds do so. I want you to notice that the Lord is making this contrast. At that particular time of the year, and every year since, the very same thing happens. When the harvest is gathered in conjunction with that, the birds fly away. The birds migrate. I want us to look this morning briefly at some of the contrasts, the points of difference that the Lord is highlighting here in this reference. I want you to consider in the first place that the Lord drew attention to these birds, these migratory birds, because they knew when danger was approaching. They knew when danger was approaching. The Lord says of these birds, these little birds, he says they observe the time of their coming. They know their appointed time. A reference here is to their migratory nature. The birds that are listed in verse 7 were seasonal visitors to the land of Israel. They arrived in springtime as the summer was approaching, and they left again in the autumn time. If we lift this verse out of its setting and bring it into our own setting in the British Isles, perhaps the bird that is most familiar to us in this list is the swallow. The swallow comes in mid-April, and it leaves again in September. Their arrival signals the approach of summer, but once September time arrives, there's a noticeable restlessness among the swallows. It's almost as if an anxiety seizes hold of them, and you will see them perched You'll see them perched in telephone lines. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. But one of the striking features about the swallows at this time of the year is that when they perch in those lines, there's almost an equal distance of about a foot between each one of them. And there they are with their wings at their side as if they're standing at attention. They've been gripped by an alertness. They're watching for something. They know that something is going to happen. They know that something is going to take place. They observe this appointed time and they recognize that there's a change of the weather. They recognize that the summer is passing and the cold winds of winter are approaching. And in a few days' time, they will set off for the warmer climes of the southern hemisphere. They know that danger is approaching. And they know that to stay where they are will mean certain death. Why does the Lord draw this contrast? Why does He draw this point of difference with the migratory birds and the people of Judah? The Lord says about His people, they do not know the judgment of the Lord. Those little migratory birds know that if they stay where they are, death will be the result. And so they prepare to leave and they depart. The Lord is saying of the people of Judah in particular and the mankind in general, He's saying there's a great difference, there's a great contrast between the birds of the air and mankind. Man does not know that he's in a place of peril, that he's in a state of danger, that if he continues in his sin without Christ, he will surely be lost, he will surely perish. You see what the Lord is hinting at here, what the Lord is highlighting here? Men do not recognize that they're in a state of danger. Let me say to you this morning, my friend, if you're not saved, you're in a state of danger. A state of grave peril. The Bible warns it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There is a judgment. And with every passing harvest time, we are reminded of that great harvest that is yet to come when the Lord will thrust in the sickle and all men shall be gathered before Him. The judge of all the earth shall come. And God shall judge the world by that man whom He hath appointed. The Lord Jesus will appear as the judge of all the earth and every single one of us will stand before Him. Those who stand before Him in their sin will face judgment without mercy. You see, the Lord says at the harvest time, behold that little swallow. It has left your shores because it knows that danger is approaching. I wonder, have you recognized your need? I wonder today, have you recognized the danger that you are in if you continue in your sin without Christ? But there's a second point of difference here. Not only do these birds recognize that danger is approaching, they fly to a place of safety. They seek to flee from danger and to find a place of shelter. When our swallows left us just a few weeks ago, they set out on a journey that would take them 6,000 miles all the way down to the southern hemisphere, to southern Africa. And whilst we are preparing for the winter chill and the winter storms, the southern hemisphere is entering upon its summer season. And for those little birds, it'll be a place of safety. It'll be a place of refuge, a place of shelter. They not only know when danger is coming, but they know where the place of safety is to be found. The Bible warns us of that great coming day of judgment. The Bible is clear about that matter. But the Bible also tells us where sinners can find refuge. There's a wonderful little verse in Psalm 84, if you'd like to turn to that psalm. Psalm number 84 and the verse 3. The psalmist says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Not long after the swallows arrive, they begin to breed. I want you to see here where the swallows have come to. They have come to the altars of the Lord. They've fled the winter winds, the chilling winds, the biting winds that will bring sure and certain death. And they have come to the altars of the Lord. The reference here is to the tabernacle, to the Old Testament economy of worship. And when the worshipper came to the tabernacle, the first item that he met as he entered in through the door was the great altar of sacrifice, the altar of the burnt offering, the place where the lamb lay. Then the blood would be taken within and sprinkled in the altar of incense. The two altars were types of the work of Christ. That altar of sacrifice, the burnt offering, the brazen altar, was a picture of the cross and the work that the Lord Jesus would come to do for sinners in the sacrifice of Himself and in the shedding of His blood. There at the cross He put away our sin, and He provided a place where sinners can find shelter from the judgment of God. There at the cross He made a place of refuge for sinners. That brazen, that golden altar within the veil of the first tabernacle typifies the work that He carries on in heaven at this very moment. His work of intercession. He ever lives to make intercession for His people. For those who come unto God by Him, there is refuge. There is refuge, and it's found only in Christ. It's found only in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And here are these little swallows, and they've fled from the winter winds, the chilling wind, from the place of danger and the place of death, and they have come and they've found a place to hide, and it's in the altars of the Lord. What a picture there is here. They know where safety is found. Tell me today, friend, do you know where you can find shelter for your soul? Do you know where that place of refuge, the only place of refuge, is found at the cross? It's found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in Him can your soul be safe. Only in His work can you find acceptance with God. Yes, they fly to the place of safety. They do not linger in the place of danger. They do not linger. We've had a few mild days recently. At least that has been the case in the north of Scotland. A very rare thing at this time of the year. In fact, it's a rare thing all through the year to have mild days up there. But you know, we often talk about an Indian summer, and sometimes we get a mild day when we're almost lulled into thinking that winter's not on the way, that summer is still here. But no matter how many mild days the autumn may have, those little swallows do not linger. They do not stay. They know that if they linger, escape will be too late. They're not tempted by a false sense of security, a false sense of warmth. They know that if they leave it too late,
And they stay a little longer where they are and enjoy the warmer days a little longer. They know that those biting winds will hinder their escape and they will die en route. You know what the devil is saying to men? Just stay where you are. Just stay a little longer in your sin. Just stay a little longer without Christ. Just a little longer. Oh, my friend, learn from the swallows. They're not tempted by that false sense of security. That's exactly what was happening in the days of Jeremiah. The prophets of that day, we are told in the verse 11, had healed the hurt of the daughter of the Lord's people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Don't listen to Jeremiah. He's really just stirring you up now and he's getting you all excited. There's nothing to worry about. Everything is fine. And that's exactly what the devil says to men and women. The message has not changed. Just stay where you are. Just linger a little longer in your sin. But my friend, if you linger in your sin without Christ, escape will be impossible. These little birds, they do not linger. And the Lord says, look at them. Is there somebody lingering here this morning? You've been under conviction of sin. You have come to this house of God and you've heard the gospel and your conscience has been pricked. Something is holding you back. My friend, do not linger. Do not tarry. Do not let conscience make you linger. Nor a fitness fondly dream. All that Christ requireth of thee is that you feel your need of Him. Do not tarry without Him. Flee to that place of safety immediately. Come today. Come now. And be saved now before it's too late. You know, these swallows, when they begin their migration to safety, they do not stop until they have reached their goal. They've got to go 6,000 miles. The people who study these birds tell us that they fly 200 miles every day. That's a lot of flying. For a little bird that size. The only time that they stop is overnight for a rest. And when the light of a new day comes, away they go again and they just keep on going. Every day for over 4 weeks. Until they get to that place of safety. You know, there's some people who start out to come to Christ. They feel the pricking of their conscience. They know they're not right with God and they need to get right with God. And maybe they start to attend the house of God and attend the ministry of the gospel. And maybe they start to think about these things. And maybe they even start to pray, but then something happens and they stop. And they never get to Christ. Is there someone like that here this morning? Maybe you've had that intention. You know you need to be saved. And you've set your mind towards this matter. But if you're honest, you will have to say you've ceased. You've stopped. You've lingered. The Lord says, look at these little birds. These migratory birds, they do not stay under a false sense of security. They do not linger in the place of danger. They just carry on and they keep on going until they get to the place of refuge. I say to you today, friend, do not rest till you find rest in Jesus Christ. They fly to the place of safety. But there's one final thought of contrast or point of contrast. And I think it's the most fascinating and the most instructive feature of the migration of the swallows. When they know that danger is coming and they prepare to leave for safety and they leave for that place of refuge, they all leave together. They migrate all together when that appointed time comes. There's a great variety among them. There's males and females, there's parents and children, there's old and young, there's some who are stronger, there's others who are weaker. But they all sense the need to depart. They all sense the approaching danger. And all together. Isn't it an amazing thing? You see the swallows flying about and then suddenly they're all gone. They all migrate together. Is the parallel not plain? The need of salvation. The need to escape the judgment that is to come. The need to flee to Christ for safety is a need that belongs to all without exception. All men need to be saved. All men need to fly to Christ. All men need to seek the Lord without exception. Male and female. You know, the need of every man here is exactly the same need for as for every woman. And the need of every woman is exactly the same need as for every man. You need to be saved. You need to be right with God. You know those swallows when they leave, it's the men who take the lead. The males who take the lead. They're the first to arrive in the distant land, in the place of safety. They're leading the way. They're leading the way. You know, there's some men in this world and they think that they can leave this business or this matter of religion, as they call it, to the women. You know, that's really for the women. It's for the women to pray and it's for the women to think about these things. They think somehow that this matter is beneath them. The male swallows, they lead the way. They lead the way. Is there a man here this morning? The head of a home and a family, and you're not leading the way in the things of God? You know, that's God's will for every man within the family setting, to lead the way. To lead the way. You know, there's a verse that's often used to have a go at the ladies, and I think unjustly. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it is the verse 34. Paul says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak, but they're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." He's speaking here in relation to the teaching office and the capacity of that office. And he says in the next verse, "If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church." You know, the emphasis here is not so much on the women. I think this verse says more about men than it does about the women. And yet that's overlooked. What Paul is saying here is that the man is to be the spiritual head in the home. He's to be the teacher. He's to be the one that gives the lead in the things of God and sets the example. And yet how many men are leaving that to the women? The little swallows, they're led by the males, and the females come with them. Wouldn't it be a great thing in every home that's represented here for husband and wife to go to heaven together? Husband, don't leave it to your wife to go to heaven by herself. You start for heaven today and begin to do what God means you to do, to be His representative in your home, to lead the way. They all go, male and female, old and young, parents and children. Among that migrating company are those who have been flying the same route for years. They're well used to the journey. They're familiar with all the stopping points. They go to the same places every year. It's fascinating to watch these birds and observe them. But there's also those who've never embarked upon the journey before. They've just been born, just a few months, and all that they've been used to is the nest where they were born. They've never migrated before. But when the appointed time comes, they recognize something in their parents. They recognize something in the older birds. An alertness and a seriousness that affects them. And when they see their parents departing, the younger ones leave also. They leave also. What a powerful lesson for every parent. Do we, by our example, leave an impression upon the hearts of our children concerning salvation? We cannot save them. We cannot make them Christians. But we can set before them the example of a life that's fleeing from the wrath to come, and a life that has fled on to Christ for refuge. Praying all the time that God will bless that example and make it effective. But let me bring it down to the children. Let me apply it to all the young people here today. Boys and girls, can you see those little birds in the nest? Those little swallows? They're born maybe about May time, and through June and July and August they're flying about. They've never been on that long journey before. But when September time comes, they see Mum and Dad getting ready to leave. Mum and Dad know that something's going to happen. They've never experienced this before, but they know that something is different about their parents. And when their parents begin to fly to the southern lands, the little baby swallows go with them. They're not going to be left behind. They all go together. And maybe, boys and girls, your mum and dad are saved and bring you to this house of God because they love the Lord. And they want you to hear about the gospel. But I wonder, children, I wonder, boys and girls, could it be that you have not yet given your heart to Christ? Look at the little swallows. They know when it's time to leave, and they go with their mum and dad. They fly to the place of safety. Young people, you need to be saved. And you know, you're never too young to be saved. You're never too young to come to Christ. You can come to Christ today. Wouldn't it be a great thing if some little boy or some little girl in this service said today in their hearts, Lord, come into my heart today. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. The Lord said, look at these birds. They know when danger's approaching. They fly to that place of safety, and they all fly together. The harvest is associated with the migration of the birds. I wonder, as we close this morning, are we looking at a contrast or are we looking at a comparison? In your life, is there a similarity with these migratory birds? Have you fled from the wrath to come? Have you come to Christ? Is there that similarity? Or is it a contrast? Is it a point of difference? As yet,
you have not come to Jesus Christ for salvation. May God make it a comparison today. And may each and every one in this service be prepared for the coming of the Lord. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake.